It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And once again, let me just go 1, 2, 3, 4. We have a full house in our studio. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Say hello to you now.
Okay. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi. Get that mic good morning, right
Anne.
Right
good
there.
Morning.
You there?
All right. Good morning, everybody.
All right. We got everybody say good morning there. And good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
There we go.
Sounds like a kid's show.
That's good right. Morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's great. We should have sung it. You're right.
Good yep. Morning. Good morning to you.
Could be worse.
All right. So, couple of things to start off with. It was a terrible, terrible week last week, the end of the week into this week, with car crashes that claimed the lives of young people in our area.
Right. There are a lot of obituaries this week that are under 50, and of course the two saddest are the two car crash victims, one in New York State and one here in Salisbury. And I wouldn't say either of them was weather related. To make it even more tragic, another young man has been arrested in the case of the first young man's death. So very, very sad all around. And just a good reminder to all you young people out there who are driving, don't get too excited. Drive carefully.
And wear your seatbelts.
Yes. Yeah. And coming up July 31st at Lime Rock, they're having another safe driving class with Bob Green. And we recommend those classes.
Just wear your seatbelts. I know it seems stupid.
It sounds useless, but just wear your seatbelt.
It makes a huge difference.
And don't text. And don't pick up things off the floor. Because we've had Arthur and Quincy have both been doing the police blotter. And I would say, how many times do you guys feel like you've done one where it said they had to pick up something off the floor and the car crashed?
I don't think we've done any of those so far.
I think you've done at least one.
Maybe.
Last week there was one in Winstead, I think last week too.
You just have to. Just two sad stories, and you know they affect the community. Everybody who dies and everybody knows in a community, but when they're young people, it just affects.
Everybody is touched by it, and it's their family. You have to live with it forever.
Yeah, it's like the very sad one in Kent at the beginning of the summer with the three Salisbury girls, Dina Silvernail, who died. Very sad. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, Patrick Sullivan did a story right on top of the front page, everybody knew this was going to happen. Slow movement on the track lawsuits, and that is Lime Rock.
So Patrick and Janet and I all read the 97-page memorandum from the judge on this case, which is super complex. And often legal decisions are very, very amusing to read. And so the judge really kind of says it's almost like an Abbott and Costello routine, the way he describes it. And he's clearly exasperated by it. And so there have been concessions on both sides. Some move forward for both sides, but this is not over. And Patrick explains the process of it.
It's really, I can't imagine being a judge in this case like this, because it has to be frustrating.
The back and forth.
Oh, my God.
And it's hard enough to read his summary of what's going on, but can you imagine if you're actually reading the original documents and having to write the summary?
I was going to say, writing the summary, and oh, my God, forget about it. All right. And, you know, I got involved in this bear story last week. There was a terrible rumor that the bear was euthanized that was caught. Wasn't the case. That they, of course, tranquilized it to tag it and stuff like that and let it go.
Yeah.
But that is one bear. And you know what's great about that story? You point out, Quincy points out, that finally Salisbury is going to do something about the dumpsters there. If they can help out businesses, and take away those garbage cans where people throw food in, the bears will stop coming when that stuff is sealed away and not there.
Well, before I let Quincy talk about the story, first of all, over at Sweet William, the bakery in Salisbury, they have the new garbage cans in place, although they still have six big tubs of molasses out next to the restaurant, which just seems like asking for trouble. But, I don't know anything about bears. So. Yeah, it's like, but okay, what do I know? I don't know anything. So they're still out there. But so on Tuesday morning, Quincy had already gone out and watched them set the bear trap. And then on Tuesday morning, Brian Oler had called us and said, whoa, we got a bear. So Quincy went over with Patrick. And actually, Ann and I went over first.
But we didn't see anything.
We saw a shadow in the cage. And so then Quincy and Patrick went back. And so what was that like? Did you get to go with them when they took the bear out to the field? Or what happened?
No, they didn't let us go to the field with the bear. We just kind of went there. We sat with Brian Oler. And we saw them take away the bear. We saw them tranquilize the bear, but they moved it out to a field privately because they had to wait for the bear to wake up before they could use the beanbag guns. So I mean, so silly. Yeah, I don't think it'd be safe for me to be there.
That's I would think that yeah they would want people just in case the bear decided to charge in the wrong direction instead of going away. Yeah. But I can tell you right now that container would not hold the bear that comes by my house. It wouldn't even be close to wouldn't even be close to going in there.
But, it didn't look that big. I assumed that it was the. We've all been assuming the cub is a boy and that the mother. So we know that this was a female. We're assuming it was the mama bear, but we don't actually know. It could be the baby.
All right. And that's one tag. Now the bears get tagged three times, and if they're caught a fourth time in public places, they are no longer relocated.
Well, and if you look on A2, you can see what it looks like to have a tagged bear, because there was one in Winsted that somebody sent in. But also, somebody had said to me at the post office in Lakeville, which, of course, everything you hear in the post office is 100% true. But this guy said to me, the only time you're allowed to kill a bear in Connecticut is if it's been inside somebody's house. And once it's been in somebody's house, then they have to kill it. So my friend who lives at Noble Horizons was in her bedroom, heard somebody in her living room and thought it was a workman, and walked out and saw a bear in her kitchen. It had come through the screen door. So she's a very calm person. She calmly walked back into her bedroom, closed the door, called for help, and by the time they got there, the bear had left. But
I don't know if you saw it on Facebook, but last week I'm sitting at my house getting ready to go to bed, and at my neighbor's house, a bear comes out and is circling the house, and then is trying to get in his. He left a window open and garbage in the front.
Oh my God!
And the bear was halfway in the window, so I called his house and said, "Hey, you got a bear trying to get into your house."
Oh, wow.
but turning on the lights and coming down, the bear went away. But it was very, the bear, you can't leave garbage, any scent of food, and they're going to try to get in.
Well, and we kept saying to them, we kept sort of speculating, like, why are these people not just keeping their garbage indoors? But I guess just
keep the
brings the bear indoors.
Well, anyways, okay, we'll go to the one place down. Well, first of all, a nice picture there of...
I know. Scavullo portrait by Andy.
That's right, of Railroad Days.
Railroad Days, yes. Beautiful photo by Aunt Day. We have some great photos, and Quincy and Arthur will talk about that as we get inside.
All right. City students see nature in a new way at Great Mountain.
This is an annual program they do where, you know, it's, I have to say, I've been living here full-time since 1999, and it's all started to seem really normal to me. It used to seem so odd, and everything was so funny to me, but now it's just like, well, of course there's trees and forests and snakes and all sorts of stuff. Just like, duh, of course there's a bear in the center of town. So it's a nice reminder that young people come up from the city and that this is, like, mind-blowing for them, that this is an incredible place for them. It's very magical, and that we should all remember that, too.
All right, and look at that picture of Arthur Potter.
Isn't he handsome? Yeah. Little Scavullo portrait.
Nature's Notebook with Bernie Drew.
Nature's Notebook by Bernie Drew, and he wrote, I said to him, he should come to the radio today and read it out loud, because the whole thing's in Scottish. But, of course, Bernie, huge fan of Robert Burns, the poet, and very interested in Scottish culture, and a very funny little article with lots of Scottish words.
All right, we will move inside, and right on top of page A3, teaching young readers of the horrors of the Holocaust.
So Shaw Isaacson has been doing, there have been a lot of writers and readings in Winsted this summer and in Norfolk, and so he went to a talk by Vesper Stamper, who's a children's book illustrator, but who's also from a Jewish family, a Reformed Jewish family, and was sort of struck by how young people don't really know that much about the Holocaust and are starting to forget it. And it's unimaginable, I think, for people of our generation, you know, who didn't even live through it, but it was recent enough that people my age could never forget it. And yet there's these statistics showing that young people don't know who, you know, 22% of, two-thirds of American millennials could not identify Auschwitz. 22% had never even heard of the Holocaust. Like, that's bad. So she wrote a young adult novel about the Holocaust. And I think for people of our generation, it's like, we know. But for young people, mind, again, like Krista Dorr, you forget that other people don't know what we take for granted.
All right. And then out of Norfolk with Shaw Publishing in the 21st Century.
Yep. Caitlin Macy came and talked about her new book, but mostly she talked about the publishing industry, which of course has changed a lot. I sort of remember when I was in my 20s that authors would always say, oh, you can't get any publicity, they won't help you with your marketing. So she's saying, like, all they want to do now is help you with your publicity and your marketing and put you up on Instagram. She feels that it's reading the book by its cover. So we'll find out more about that in that article.
And of course, one of the many things that's going on this weekend, but it's one of the best little fairs is the Jack Brown Fair, which is going on in North Canaan.
Right, the season begins. Yeah. And I think that people, another thing that we sort of start to take for granted up here that people from the city don't necessarily know is there's a progression of small fairs. So you start with a very local fair like the Jack Brown Fair where you have local kids and they're learning to show their animals. And then they go to the Goshen Fair, they go to the county fairs, they go to the Big E. So this is quite a big deal for our local kids. This is still a farming community. Of course, the agricultural education program is still very strong at Housatonic Valley Regional High School. Ashley Baldwin, who is our summer intern from last year, and we're very happy to have her. She took care of your cats last year. She'll be going to the Jack Brown Fair, and she's actually a kid who grew up in the Ag Ed program in, you know, North Canaan and has a good understanding of what's going on at these fairs. It's great.
All right. Hey, you've got a story about something that we're at every year, and that is the summer book signing, which precedes the book sale at the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon, and then the Arts and Crafts Fair on the Green. I mean, that's a whole big weekend.
Right. Arthur Potter can't wait to cover it. It's his big assignment of the summer.
Arthur, the food is terrific.
It's fun.
They offer it to you all the time.
Yeah,
and I'll be with you, Arthur. So
oh, you will
definitely be fun.
Yeah. Great.
It's always a good time.
So I did a little preview, and so we looked at the list of summer authors, and of course there's many, I think there's 30 as usual, fantastic authors that are going to be here. We're hoping it's not going to rain, the whole thing will be out in a tent, but the book signing on Friday, really one of the signature events of the summer season. But we feel like some of our favorite authors are coming, and we've already done stories on Mark Scarborough and Bruce Weinstein, Duncan Hanna, my particular favorite, Simon Winchester. I'm reading his book right now. I love it. I'm reading it very slowly. It's not a page turner, but it's a really wonderful book, a beautiful book. Duncan Hanna's great story about life in the 70s. And Duncan, who's like very quiet and sort of tweety now, he's like quite wild as a young man. And a fantastic new cookbook, which we will have an article about in our upcoming Farm to Table special section in August. So do come to the book signing.
And they're so good at setting it up, even if it does rain. They have four huge tents that they put together, and they have sides and everything. But the great thing about that, they accept for if you come in, you want to come, you can make a donation to get in by credit card. You can pay by credit card. It's one of the best run events I've seen, and it always gets between 500 and 600 people there. It's just unbelievable.
And free hors d'oeuvres being given out in a bar from the eighth graders at Sharon Center School, always good.
As a radio person, you always cover things
for the food. Journalists, the journalist's creed. Is there free food? But it's always good.
All right. You also have the story about the task force that is forming on Cricket Valley, not to stop, but just to overwatch and make sure everything's done right.
Yes, and so this is good. It seems like a very sensible approach to this, which was, you know, in their first meetings, they were kind of like, we're going to get the governor of New York to stop this. And I think that they finally realized that that's not really going to happen. But so what they're saying, you know, interestingly and appropriately, is we want to make sure that this these air emissions aren't crossing the border. And I think that they also hope that there will not be air emissions that are unhealthy for the New York state residents. And they're asking for air quality monitoring. But Arthur Potter came to the Lakeville Journal and immediately got stuck with a giant box full of documents and has been reading them. And so what is your plan on your upcoming story on Cricket Valley, Arthur Potter?
So I'm planning on doing an interview with Dr. Bruce Egan, who's the who was the hired air emissions expert on the story. Hired by the town of Dover to monitor the air emissions. And so I've been in contact with him, and I hope to have an interview with him next week and see what he has to say about the air emissions. But what I know so far is that this plant will be the cleanest natural gas plant in America right now, and it's replacing other plants across the country that are a lot dirtier. So in terms of sort of environmental impact, I think we're making a lot of strides with this plant. It's still not perfect, but it's better than it was in the 60s and 70s.
And sooner or later, it's going to replace the nuclear plant outside of New York City when that shuts down.
Which is closing in like a year.
Yeah, which you know what? You're right, it's not perfect, but would you rather have a natural gas fire plant or a nuclear power plant?
Or charcoal.
So that's going to be a story that's going to be covered for quite a long while.
Oh, yeah.
The insurance snafu in Falls Village, something that caught my eye last week, but other notes in Falls Village.
Yeah, very, unusual because, Sam Herrick at Region 1 is usually so perfect. And it seemed like, and I don't think this is probably a Sam Herrick thing, but there was a paperwork snafu, and so people in town in Falls Village are not being covered right now.
It was a snafu, and it's all settled. But it's one of those things where you, as a town, when an individual and there's a snafu, it's bad enough, and you look that you weren't covered. But never mind.
A whole town.
Being the first selectman of a town and finding out that your town's not covered.
Yeah. I mean, fortunately, it's a small town hall, but still.
it's still there.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you've got a nice story. I want to get to this race that was run in memory of Evan Rashkoff.
Are you skipping over the coverage over at the carnival?
Yes, because we already talked about the carnival.
Oh, wait, I want Quincy to talk very quickly about it, if that's okay with you, because Quincy he went into overdrive and taking photos. So did you have fun taking photos at the carnival?
Yeah, I did. I mean, there were really interesting people there, and just, like, taking photos of them and talking to them was great.
And I feel like you've made a lot. I feel like Quincy made a lot of strides. They went out with Ann Day, who gave them a little bit of instruction, and just they took it and they ran with it.
But again, the most important thing there were the fried Oreos.
That's right. Thank you very much, Ann. I agree with that 100%.
All right, Evan Rashkoff. We had the road race in honor of Evan Rashkoff. Second place winner was a dog, and nobody will tell me who was running with the dog, but obviously somebody was running with the dog, who was pretty fast. But a nice memory of Evan Rashkoff, a very beloved person here in the area.
I want to move on to the story, because we had on car keys 10 to 15,000. It was a record turnout at Lime Rock Park last weekend.
So Arthur spent the entire last week at Lime Rock. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah. So we were there last week sort of covering the race, and it was the Northeast Grand Prix for the International Motor Sports Association. So there were a lot of racers there, a lot of expensive cars, very nice cars. And one of the great things that IMSA does is they allow a lot of great fan access to the racers. So you could see fans, you know, throughout the weekend were down in sort of the paddock area with the drivers, and they were able to take pictures with the cars and stuff like that. So it was a great weekend for racing at Lime Rock, and Marlene White, who I talked to, said that they had one of the best turnouts in years. So
yeah, it was packed.
Yeah,
it was packed. Great for the economy around here. Great for the innkeepers. We only have about 6 minutes left, so I want to go to the health page so we can make sure we have enough time for Ann and
Jana.
And so we have the citrus fruits and high vitamin C. Yay!
Yes, and very quickly, Molly Ayudi was our summer intern at the beginning of the summer, and they're a two-person act. Her sister is an athlete and studies nutrition, and Molly's a good writer. So we've been happy having stories from them, and I'll just quickly summarize that Arthur Potter is a football genius and has been going to football camps. We made him write about hydration, so learn about that in his article, and that's all we have to say.
All right, let's go to the opinion page very quickly, and that is thank a town clerk, Janet.
That's right. Anyone who reads the legal notices that are in both the Lakeville Journal and the Millerton News is very well versed in any sort of government activity in our area, and one part of that is elections. A few weeks ago, we had very long legal notices from all our town clerks in our area towns announcing every candidate in every race coming into the August 14th primaries. So you can go to our website and look them up, tricornernews.com. But read this, look at what your town clerks do, and you will be amazed if you just think all they do is smile and help you when you walk in for your one thing you need, you know, a few times a year. There's much more they do.
All right, lots of letters, and also your viewpoint page with lots of interesting columns.
Exactly. We do have lots of letters, and a few of them are election, but all topics. And I want to remind people that if you see something that you feel is too partisan or too biased on in those letters or in cartoons to the editor, which we also take, then by all means, use that space yourself, write to us, and let us know what you think. That is for all our readers, that space.
All right, and I like the picture on the next page I got from Eric Bedden video. That's a colorful picture.
Yes, those are great pictures. And another interesting video from Eric, who we love, and does little mini profiles of Falls Village people. They're available at the DM Hunt Library.
Now, we'll also mention that there is a real nice section on real estate that is included in the paper. But let's go to the Compass. And You're on stage.
Okay, well, my cover picture is about Railroad Days. Everybody should remember Railroad Days is still going on, and the woman on the front page is she's a trapeze artist, but she was handling her pet boa, albino boa, which looks green, but it's actually yellow. Anyway, that was kind of fabulous to meet her there. There's always interesting people at Railroad Days, so don't forget that. We have a story about the little lowly pedestrian overused impatience, which is actually quite a beautiful flower, and the story talks about how you don't have to use it in the typical way and it can be quite beautiful in any garden. There's a great story by Leon about the three galleries in Lakeville. And if they keep this up, it's really becoming a hub, an artistic hub, because we have three very good galleries representing extremely talented artists. So he does a mini review of what's at each gallery, Argazi, White Gallery, and Andrew Craven. So check out those shows. I'm trying to work quickly here, Marshall, because I know we only have a few minutes. Then once again, Alexander Wilburn has outdone himself. He does these really quite in-depth, smart, funny interviews with directors and writers, and I think that our section has been really enriched by the contribution from Alexander Wilburn. He's interviewed the director of Love, Cecil, or Cecil. I say Cecil.
I say Cecil.
Okay, the Brits say Cecil. and so it's Love, Cecil. It's a film about the very talented photographer, art director, artist, Cecil Beaton. And the director is a woman called Lisa Immordino Vreeland. And she will be at the movie house tomorrow night with a Q&A session. But if you miss her tomorrow night, you can always read Alexander's interview with her, talking about her movie. Then we have Hair is playing at the Berkshire Theater Group in Stockbridge. Everybody remembers Hair, right, Marshall?
I remember Hair.
Hair, yeah. Grow it, hair long as
I had that hair, too.
I know. In the breeze,
You keep singing. That's good. I don't think I've ever forgotten a single one of those songs. They just stick with you. Anyway, there's a good production of Hair at the Unicorn Theater in Stockbridge, and C.B. Wismar has given it a good review. We have Leon's review of Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. Not to discourage anyone from going.
I loved it.
But it's our Papageno.
I'm not going to be spending my senior $9 fee on going there.
Our Papageno agrees with you.
Okay. And I think Leon was quite, he tried to be fair, but it is kind of an absurd.
Well, you can go to the first one.
It's wonderful. It's better than the first one.
Oh, okay. See, Cynthia loves it. So it's great. And it's almost worth the price of admission to see Cher.
There's one in
She's
every crowd.
She's phenomenal. Cher is amazing.
And that is why Pat went, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's the only thing he loved about the movie. All right, we have 1 minute left.
Okay, that's it. And then there, we have the calendar, and there's a Barefoot in the Park is opening at Sharon Playhouse tomorrow night, Friday night. So that looks to be a fantastic production, and that's all I have to say. Oh, yes, one more thing. Litchfield County Choral Union in Norfolk. And this is the 100th year, I think, of this Litchfield County Choral Union. They're going to be singing on Sunday, July 29th in the Music Shed at the Yale Summer Music School. Norfolk. That's it. Thanks.
All right. Of course. Well, thank you very much. We'll speak to you all next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robinhood Radio. You can find the Lakeville Journal at tricornernews.com, and you can also find them on Facebook.